Welcome to the Nerd Party.
Scully?
Yes?
Marry me.
I love you and I like you.
I love you and I like you.
I love that woman. I love her more than sharks love blood.
I love you.
You don't.
Hello, I'm Tristan Riddell.
And I'm the girl.
And this is Nerd Nuptial Episode 87. If this is your first time with us, this is a show about two married people looking at life through a nerd lens. And some of the show is about us, some of it is about pop culture, some of it is about our sweet, beautiful little baby girl. Now, we have kind of a free-flowing topic tonight. It's how this all started was, as some of you know, that like the Nerd Party is a collection of podcasts. We have several podcasts. I've lost track. I've honestly lost track of how many podcasts we actually have under the banner. So everyone should go to thenerdparty.com. Check them out. We got a Doctor Who podcast, two Star Wars podcasts, two Star Trek podcasts, a Harry Potter podcast, a General Geek, and this one, of course. And we have a private chat. Like it's on Slack. It's just for Nerd Party members. It's not open to the public. And host of Outpost and Aggressive Negotiations, Matt Rushing, posted an article, and it was from Vice, and it's called "People Are Finally Getting Sick of Nostalgia in TV and Movies," and it has a picture of Luke Skywalker and Rey juxtaposed with The Rock from Jumanji, and Karen Gillan.
Mm-hmm.
And, or Gillian, sorry. I always say Gillian now because of Gillian Flynn. She, like the author of Gone Girl, she's ruined that pronunciation for me. I'm surprised I haven't said Gillian Anderson Scully. But it's an interesting headline. People are sick of nostalgia in TV and movies. Mm-hmm. It's interesting.
Yeah, it is.
Because if you read the headline and then look at the photos, and like the subline is, we can learn a lot from the latest Star Wars, Star Trek, and Jumanji installments. The headline is inferring that these were missteps. That's The Last Jedi was a misstep, Jumanji was a misstep, and Star Trek Discovery is a misstep. But if you look at it from a financial standpoint, it's not. But then again, financial does not mean good. Like, good money
right.
doesn't mean good story.
I mean, a lot of people go see Transformers, but that doesn't mean they're good.
That's always the go-to. That is always the go-to example. Those
movies, is that fair?
Those movies have made so much money, and yet you cannot defend them for story or acting or
right.
editing or anything.
Right, but you can't. You have to give it to them that they make a lot of money.
Yeah, they cater to the masses, and that's what the masses
right.
want, and the mob is fickle. And so you cannot judge financial success, but at the same time, I know that we as film nerds, and we know a lot about how film is made. You and I have studied storytelling,
mm-hmm.
literally, and we are storytellers here and outside of the Nerd Party, and it's easy for us to kind of take a highfalutin stance and say, well, money isn't everything. But at the same time, I think you need to take a step back and say, like, if something is making money, then that is showing something.
Well, and the film industry is an industry.
Right.
So they're going to put their financial backing into something that will give them the highest return. So, I mean, yes, you know, independent films can, you know, be one of those things where, like, they have the best stories. Absolutely. But are those stories going to cater to the masses? Maybe not.
Yes, right. I mean, that's the thing is that it's, I think we're getting a little off topic because it's supposed to be nostalgia-based, but I don't care because we're on a tangent now. that this is, what is it? You know, like, why is Transformers making money and Blade Runner 2049 isn't? Blade Runner 2049 is art. Transformers is not. But yet, you know, like, 2049 has robots. Transformers has robots. Transformers has explosions. 2049 has a few explosions. 2049 has great acting. Transformers does not. Like, what is it that differentiates these two? And why is one good and why is one bad? And why does one make money and why does the other
one make money? Well, there's so much to answer in that question. But, I mean, I'm sure part of it is you know, a lot of times with like a Transformers film, when you go in, you know what you're getting, right? Like, you know that you're going to see a lot of explosions. It's Michael Bay, you know, that kind of feeling, that kind of movie. I think we're not even just talking about like Transformers,
right,
but like that type of film that appeals to the masses, you know, when you go see it, you have an expectation and usually those expectations are met. Now, it doesn't mean that it's a good film, but okay, I got some explosions, I got some hot girls, I'm good, or whatever, you know. Whereas, you know, if you're going to go see a movie like Blade Runner 2049, you might have to pay a little bit more attention and be more involved with the characters or something like that, or maybe have some back story in your mind. I mean, they even made those like almost like prequels to Blade Runner 2049.
Oh, like kind of to explain. Yeah.
I mean, if you have to have like things to explain your movie ahead of time, it's not necessarily. I mean, I know it was extra.
It was all
extra.
Don't get me wrong. I loved it.
But I'm just saying that it explains the backstory. Transformers, you don't need any backstory.
No, and that's the thing. You don't need any story either. That's the problem.
Right, right.
Is that I think it comes down to mindless. Is because it's just it's weird that I my brain went to this comparison because it's true. I mean, it's just like you have advanced technology in both. You have leading men in both. You like I guess you could say, what's his name? The guy who breathes heavy. In Transformers. Crap, what's his name?
Mark Wahlberg.
I couldn't think of Mark Wahlberg's name. Like, some would consider him attractive. You know, like Ryan Gosling is attractive. And then you have hot ladies in both.
Mm-hmm.
You have straight up nudity in Blade Runner 2049, but you don't have women jumping around in bikinis on motorcycles in Blade Runner 2049. And it's just, you have this either or. You have column A and column B in both of these movies. They have some of the same elements, but are drastically different.
Right.
And I think it comes down to paying attention. Like you said, you have to pay attention in Blade Runner 2049. You don't in Transformers. And some people, they want to go to the movie theater to just turn off their brain.
Right. And I mean, to be fair, you know, not that we're like, I mean, I know we sometimes come across probably snooty in our film taste, but, you know, sometimes that's what you need when you go to the theater is like something just to turn off your brain. But at the same time, you can't call it like art or call it something that is necessarily a good film. You're like, oh, I liked that. Was it good? No, but I liked it. It was fun.
Well, see, that's the thing is that like, I feel like that's a very common response for us. I mean, particularly you and me, where you will say something is mindless or I will say something is mindless. And then we will always come back and say, well, we're not being snooty because sometimes you need that. Like, we always say that. I'm guilty of it. You're guilty of it. We always have
that. Well, I just said it. So.
Exactly. Like, we have that same give and take. But the more I think about it is that even if I want mindless fun, I still want some sort of value to it. Yeah, I still want a story. I'm thinking of like my top two favorite stupid movies is Zoolander and Orange County.
Okay.
Zoolander is mindless, but a well-crafted story. Like, it's a well-crafted comedy. It's stupid, but it's well-made.
Yeah, I understand
and
that.
And Orange County is also stupid. It's ridiculous. It's absurd. It's over the top. But there's a lot of heart in it. Like, and it actually has a hopeful, good message at the end where you're invested in the characters and you care what happens to these characters. And in Transformers, we keep talking about, it's just such a go-to of bad filmmaking.
I was going to say, I don't know why that's the one.
Like,
but
so many people just consider Michael Bay as just the death of film. it's just, all it is just, it's fast-paced editing and big robots turning into hot women on motorcycles. It's just like there's no heart there. There's no story.
The robots turn into hot women?
In my version, they do.
Wow. Yeah. Maybe we should watch these. I don't know.
I don't know.
Maybe, impressive.
When they come out with the 18th version, maybe I'll give it a chance.
Well, let's get back to the
nostalgia.
The nostalgia. So they were mentioning things like The Last Jedi, Jumanji,
and Star Trek. Those were kind of the three examples
okay.
that they talked
about.
So
let's kind of, I guess, focus on that kind of idea, right? Of these reboots or, well, I guess even like X-Files and like they were talking about Roseanne.
Well, they started listing all these things.
They're all coming back, right?
Well, I keep seeing these articles about reboots, revivals, and now people are, the new buzzword is nostalgia.
Okay.
It's not new because we've been constantly using that in film all the time. Mm-hmm. What I'm saying is that's become more popular recently to knock nostalgia. And even the two weird examples that we just came up with for comparing Transformers and Blade Runner 2049, both of those were made based off of old intellectual property and nostalgia.
That's true.
Transformers is based off of action figures.
Right.
And then that spawned a popular cartoon. And then now we have $1 billion industry in that franchise.
Right.
And then Blade Runner 2049 was based off of a movie that was based off of a short story. And it didn't do well financially at all.
Right.
And so one intellectual property is thriving and mindless. Another one has rich characters and a rich movie and not thriving. And so with just those examples, you can't say people are sick of nostalgia, because those two examples of one failing and one, succeeding,
mm-hmm.
is the same example of nostalgia. Now, if we go to what the article is talking about with Star Wars and Star Trek and Jumanji, like in the article, it talked about how a lot of people had issue with The Last Jedi because it changed the character of Luke. Like, everyone keeps talking about that. It changed the character of Luke. Whatever. I don't care personally.
I cared.
Okay. How did you care? Okay. Let's talk about that.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the nostalgia. Let's cut it up this way. Let's talk about the nostalgia of Star Wars.
Okay.
All right. So to me, when Last Jedi came out,
mm-hmm.
I didn't think, oh, it's another nostalgia ploy. I was just like, no, it's Star Wars. They've been working on the franchise since 1977 without stopping. So this is just a continuation. I don't feel like this is a throwback to the original or throwback to 1977. I just feel like it's the next chapter in the installment.
Yeah, but you still have some of those same characters, and I think that's why there's an issue with Luke.
Because
you have the original cast. So if you're messing with the original cast, you know, if you're going to bring back Carrie Fisher, if you're going to bring back Mark Hamill, then you have to talk about nostalgia and you have to keep those in mind. I mean, it's kind of the same idea as when you have the special editions and they took away, they added in Hayden Christensen.
At
the end of Jedi. It hurt mm-hmm. true fans because it was like, whoa, wait, no, that's wrong. And, you know, for me, when I saw The Force Awakens and they said that Han and Leia weren't together, that hurt. It hurt because you wanted to see them be together. Now, not that they weren't together, but we didn't get to experience any of that. And we kind of talked about that in a previous podcast where, you know, we didn't get to enjoy what they gave us at the end of Jedi, mm-hmm. of seeing them together. And then immediately when you decide to reboot it, we are to have that relationship taken away. I mean, we see that they're, you know, at least care for each other, but I'm sorry, but diehard fans, you want them to live happily ever after. Like, at least give us that. So then when they do, you know, this weird thing to Luke where he doesn't care anymore and he's just like hanging out and being all, you know, sad in this mountainous island, that hurt too, because you don't want to see your hero of the original franchise that you love so much. I mean, it's Luke's story. You see him in this state where you're like, ugh, no, that's not Luke. That's not what I want to see for Luke.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your fans have opinions. So for me, I kind of would rather leave them in the state where I liked them. I don't necessarily know if I wanted to see them. I'm fine with exploring the same franchise as far as like the universe, but when you mess with those same characters, I think there's a problem. I think that's probably why Jumanji did well and Last Jedi has a lot of criticism, is because we are messing with the past, whereas Jumanji, it's a reboot. Like, you take the idea,
mm-hmm.
but let's change it and flip it upside down and different characters. It's not like, you know, we're messing with the past. It's just the same franchise.
That's kind of the point that the article was making. Like, that's why mm-hmm. I actually brought up Jumanji. I mean,
yeah.
the title of the article, as well as the artwork that they chose, was very much clickbait, because the title and the photos belied what was actually in the article. Right. The article gave varied opinions. It ultimately said nothing and had no, didn't have a stance. At least it didn't stick to a stance. But it gave kind of the same reasoning that you're talking about, is that Star Wars was very divisive because it messed with older characters mm-hmm. and the older franchise and change some things that we know and love. And with Jumanji, it's pretty much a movie in name only.
Right.
And so it doesn't have that baggage. It like nothing will ever have the baggage of Star Wars and Star Trek.
That's true. And I think even, you know, when you mess with those franchises, you're opening up a lot of criticism anyway. So it's probably not even fair to mention those, because people feel so strongly about them anyway.
it's true. That's actually one thing that popped in my head was, I was like, it's not fair to compare Star Trek and Star Wars to anything else in nostalgia, I think, because you're never going to win.
Right.
Like, the writer was talking about how in Star Wars and in, like, Star Wars The Last Jedi and Star Trek Discovery, people were saying, oh, it's the worst of the franchise. It ruined the franchise. This is horrible. Well, yeah, people, I hate it when people say.
Mm-hmm.
People say a lot of crap. People say horrible things. People say the earth is flat. So to say that people say it's the worst thing, yeah, I'll for every person I can find who says it ruined the franchise, you can find a person who says it's the best in the franchise. Now, it's right. Neither. But the thing is, that's been happening since 1977.
Sure. It's reason why we have our favorite Godfathers, or our favorite, our favorite of the original trilogy of mm-hmm. Star Wars. And, you know, everyone's going to say, well, this one's better, this one's better. You know, we all have an opinion about that. There's really not a right answer, because it's all based on your opinion. I mean, that's why you're listening to this show right now, because you want to hear our opinion. It's just one of those things.
And that's the thing, is that, like, people have been, like, ever since Empire, people have been saying, oh, this killed the franchise. like even though a lot of people think Empire is the best one, right. I guarantee you, when it came out, people are saying that it ruined the franchise. It ruined a good thing.
Right.
Why not just leave it alone?
I'm sure they did.
People said it about Jedi. People said it about Phantom Menace, Attack of the Clones, Revenge of the Sith.
I said that about
Force Awakens, yeah. Rogue One, Last Jedi. Every single Star Wars film, people have said this right. garbage. And some of it's right, some of it's not. And it's not even right and wrong. It's just opinion. And when you say it ruined the franchise, sure, it did. It ruined it for you. Now move on with your life. And with Star Trek Discovery, they were trying to say that, like, oh, well, you know, like, people are saying this ruined the franchise, or this was too different, and this isn't Gene Roddenberry's vision and everything like that. People have been saying that ever since Next Generation came out. When, you know, like,
anything that's different. Yeah. No, I think that the article, though, was saying that we're all tired of it, right? Not necessarily just that, like, you know, some people say that it killed the franchise, but are we tired of this nostalgia game? You know, are we tired of seeing these reboots and, you know, the next installment of these popular franchises?
Are you tired?
Yeah, I am.
Why?
Because I feel like nowadays it is so rare to see an original story that it's become like, well, we're just waiting for the next Avengers, or we're just coming out for the next Star Wars. Like, that's how we live right now, is just like waiting for those next ones. And it's not as popular to see some of the independent films, like, because they don't get as much of attention, but at least they're trying to be more original, hopefully, you know, depending on the film. But I'm tired of it. I think that even though, you know, they have my money and I'll probably continue to go see it, it doesn't mean that I'm not tired. I agree with our article. I feel like I am tired of the nostalgia.
But the thing is, though, is like, if you are tired of it, why are you giving it your money? Why are you going?
Because it's because you're a fan. It's in name only, right? It's like, I feel like most of the time I'm betrayed. Even I feel like I keep going back and I'm being betrayed each time. Really?
How so?
Well, Is there any franchise, maybe other than Blade Runner, which kind of went in a different direction and didn't even focus necessarily on the main character 100% that we had followed before?
Mm-hmm. I feel like can you really call something a franchise film if it's a sequel? And that, like,
I don't know. Well,
you know, like, if it's one other film, though. It's
one other film? Okay, so we're talking more franchises?
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like that one's a little bit of a stretch, because, like, Transformers is a franchise. Star Trek, Star Wars is a franchise. Mm-hmm. Jumanji is a sequel. You know, 2049 is a sequel. I feel like they've now become a friend. Like, if we get a third one in these things, I feel like then it becomes... I don't know. That's a different conversation.
I don't know what the rule is, yeah, with that. But I don't know. Can you think of any known properties that you felt like, oh, yeah, they've improved upon themselves recently?
Planet of the Apes.
But did you feel like the last one was the best?
I don't think the last one was the best, but this new iteration... I feel like is better than the original films.
Okay.
The original films, there was, six? Five? Mm-hmm. Somewhere around in there?
Yeah.
And like, that went on for, that's a lot of movies.
It is.
That's a lot of movies. And they got perpetually worse with each one.
Yeah, they got a little crazy towards the end there.
And then out of nowhere, we have these CGI apes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of a reboot, kind of a sequel, kind of a revival.
Okay.
It's kind of, not revival, but you know, it's all these things. It's craziness that happens, and then when you watch it, I'm just like, wow, okay. This is better than the originals.
All right, but in fairness, there was no original cast, right?
Right.
So that helps.
There's no original characters.
Right. I mean, we have
like we didn't see
Zira and Cornelia, yeah, like all these. We don't see those characters, so that helps, because we're not like, well, she wouldn't do that or he wouldn't do that, you know.
We didn't see Chuck Heston.
We didn't see Chuck Heston, so that helps, because otherwise we have these expectations from the past.
That's true.
So can you think of one where we're using the original cast? That didn't disappoint you. I mean, X-Files completely disappointed you. Twin Peaks disappointed you.
I screamed about both of them. Yes.
I know. Very hard. Yes.
We'll see. Star Trek Discovery.
Okay.
Doesn't use.
Right. So that's not fair.
The only person it uses is Sarek. And
true.
That's just Spock's dad. You know, that's not like using Kirk or Spock you know, whomever, McCoy.
Yeah.
So. I guess, I mean, if you want to keep adding qualifiers to it, you know, like, I can give you some different answers.
I guess maybe it's not fair to have those qualifiers, but for me, that is the difference.
Okay. All right.
Is that fair?
The Dark Knight trilogy.
Okay.
That utilized original characters that were abused and smacked around for years and revitalized it and... improved upon it.
Okay, because you're talking about like Adam West era.
Well,
or...
No, I'm talking about like, well, you
oh, go like
from Adam West to Tim Burton to,
Clooney.
Yeah, I'm blanking on. I can't believe I'm blanking on his name. Schumacher.
Schumacher.
Yeah, like you go from West to Burton to Schumacher to Nolan and then to Snyder, and so you have this pendulum that goes back.
Okay,
and forth.
But it still wasn't like, okay, we all have our Batman, mm-hmm. you know. We had a completely different cast playing those characters. So that helps.
But by the logic that you're kind of laying down, where you're talking about how you're tired of nostalgia, should we, like, before Nolan did Batman, should we have abandoned Batman?
No.
And created a new character?
No. I mean, I think that because, okay, I'll give you an example. Like 2 years ago, I would have said, we need to stop making Spider-Man movies.
Yes.
I'm so tired of it. And like, oh my gosh, just let this franchise die. Okay. But since I saw Homecoming, I was like, oh yeah, we did need that one. That was great. So no, but did we need a new cast? Probably.
I think I'm to the point where I recognize that the nostalgia machine is never going to go away. It's never going to stop. It's never going to stop making money because of the exact same reason that you laid forth about how you're tired of nostalgia. You're tired of reboots and revivals. And you're tired of waiting for the next mm-hmm. thing. But you're going to go anyway because they have you.
So you think like our great, great grandchildren will have Star Wars films?
I think it's possible. I honestly do. I think as long, and what I'm saying is that as long as you, the girl, keep giving them money,
they're gonna keep going.
Like if it still makes money, if Transformers still makes money, they're still gonna make them. It doesn't matter what the bloggers think. It doesn't matter what podcasters think. It doesn't matter what film Twitter thinks. If you still give them your money, they're gonna keep doing it.
That's true.
And I'm not asking for a revolution here. Except, even though this is the revolution of podcasting, I'm not asking for a revolution in filmmaking. I'm not asking for a revolution in audience going. Give the money towards what you like, but be honest about it. Because with the Han Solo film, if we really didn't want them to do this kind of sidestep stuff in Star Wars, if we really wanted to stop the nostalgia train in Star Wars and try new things, we wouldn't go to Rogue One. We wouldn't go to Han Solo. And yet we're gonna go, and so they're gonna keep making them.
Okay, just like giving that example, I was excited about the Rogue One film because it was something different.
True.
Whereas I know Han Solo as a character, so I'm really not excited about seeing that film.
That's a good example right there. I think that's a good comparison that you just made.
Thank you.
Rogue One is rooted in nostalgia.
Yes.
But gives us a new story.
New story. We didn't know the ins and outs of that story. Mm-hmm. We knew it was happening, but we didn't know
it was a story that was referenced.
Right. Exactly.
So it was a story that was tied to the saga,
mm-hmm.
that was referenced in the original.
Right.
But yet we never saw and we never knew who was involved. With the Han Solo film,
We know this character,
and it is all about his backstory. And so, Rogue One is not going to change our perspective on any character
Mm-mm.
that we knew before.
No,
Han Solo or the Solo film could change our perspective on the character we know and love.
Right. Just like when I see them celebrating at the end of Jedi and Han and Leia are like, you know, side hugging, I now know that they don't end up together and they created a monster. So that hurts. And the same thing goes true, you know, if we learn that, you know, Han Solo, I don't know what I could learn about Han Solo, but I don't know if I want to. I don't know if I want to learn anything about him. Mm-hmm. I think I want to leave him where he is.
Well, I've been preaching from the beginning that Han Solo exists in that cantina. Like, that's where he enters the universe.
Yeah, and I like that.
Like, that's where we need to know him. That's right. All we need to know about him. And that's where he began. That's where he entered the Skywalker saga.
Right. But people love that character, mm-hmm. so we can get some money out of it. So let's see some more. And I'm not saying it's bad, and I'm not saying I'm not going to go see it, because I'm going to go see it. But I'm not going to be happy about it.
See, this is what I'm talking about. This is what I'm talking about.
Well, actually, okay. To be fair, though, if I could go see something original versus the Han Solo movie, I would go see something original.
Like Annihilation.
Yeah, I would.
I want more of Annihilation. I want those movies. But then again, right when you watch it, you're just like, I'm going to have to think, and people are not going to like thinking. And so it's going to be critically acclaimed, and it's not going to make any money.
That's true. It's true.
And it's sad. It's fair. It makes me sad because original sci-fi doesn't make money.
No.
Like District 9.
Right.
Blade Runner.
No, it doesn't.
Ex Machina.
It's not even considered usually. Like by the Academy, even like for awards, right? Usually,
because it's sci-fi,
right?
Yeah.
Sci-fi is not considered.
No, it's not. It's really not, and it's sad, but it's true. And just like I'm a slave, just like you, you know. Like it's just like I'm not tired of nostalgia because I can always. I'm really good at disconnecting, like with Luke. To go back to Luke,
okay,
it was 30 years since the last time we saw him.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to be the same person in 30 years.
I know.
You know?
But in the same respect, you'd hope that they would have some of the same values, the same drive at least, like some fight in them. Like,
feel like they wasted an opportunity. They wasted what Luke could have been, what they could have done. But to me, I can go back. When I watch A New Hope, Empire, and Jedi, I'm watching A New Hope, Empire, and Jedi.
Yes. But in the same respect, then you realize, okay, yay, celebrate. And then we didn't get to see him, like, train Jedis. Mm-hmm. And we learn that all of his students die. And then he just decides to give up and hang out, like I said, on an island. So that's sad. That's sad. So I get the argument that they wasted him. I mean, he's the reason why you watch Star Wars, right? I mean, not that he has to be your favorite character, but it is the Skywalker saga. Mm-hmm. So you watch it for him, and then we learn that he's just kind of,
honestly, like, I feel like the Skywalker saga ended with Return of the Jedi. I don't feel like we got
with him and Vader, just like, okay.
Yeah. I feel like that's the end of the Skywalker saga. Yeah,
but even then, like, you didn't have that kind of gratification either, because it's not like they completely solved the dark side problem. You know, it's not like we had this utopia after it. There was still a fight, and there's still a struggle. So
I don't think you're hearing what I'm saying.
Just saying, okay, I know, but okay, maybe I'm nerding out too much about Star Wars, but I feel like I understand that they're going to keep making them. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't mean that I have to like it.
No, it doesn't mean you have to like it at all. I'm not saying that in the least. I'm not saying you have to like The Force Awakens. I agree with the article
that I'm tired of it.
I'm not saying you have to like Force Awakens. I'm not saying you have to like Last Jedi. I'm not saying you have to like any of the new stuff that they're doing. I don't say you have to like Disney era Star Wars at all. You can hate it. You can stop watching it if you wanted to. What I'm trying to say is that in my own mind, I'm able to have these things exist
on their own. To disconnect.
Like, the sequels exist on their own. The originals exist on their own. The prequels exist on their own. Is it interesting when they tie together? Yes. But when I'm watching Jedi, I'm not going to be thinking about The Last Jedi. And when I'm watching Phantom Menace, I'm not thinking of, like, and seeing little Annie mm-hmm. run around with his mop top. I'm not thinking about Vader in Empire.
But not everyone's able to do that, and that's not what they want you to do.
I know that's not what they want you to do.
So I'm just saying, like, it doesn't mean that that's the case for everyone, and that's exactly the opposite of what they want.
I'm just saying,
did we solve this problem?
No,
did
I don't, we're not solving anything. I'm just saying that this is, like, that is my own that's my own safety mechanism.
You're just able to ignore it.
I am able to ignore it, because the only thing that I haven't been able to ignore is the bastardization of the special editions with Star Wars, because I can ignore a sequel, I can ignore a reboot, I can ignore a prequel and just look at the stuff that I like. What is very hard to ignore is when they actually take the movie I like mm-hmm. and change it and alter it. That's what I think needs to stop. And I'm glad that.
So, like, the sound of no.
Yeah, like adding no.
Okay.
In one of the most emotional scenes in sci-fi history mm-hmm. in Jedi.
That ruined that moment.
That ruined that moment for me. That literally ruined that moment for me. It was one of the best moments in Star Wars movies of all time, and they ruined it.
So even if you watch it without that version,
yeah, we have the theatrical version. You still hear it. I still hear it in my head. I still see mm-hmm. it. And I still think about it. Mm-hmm. And a little bit of me will never forgive Lucas for that. I can forgive him for the prequels, because those are his movies. He wanted to make those. That's the story mm-hmm. he wanted to make. More power to him. Great. Good on you. But when you take something that's great and almost perfect, and then you ruin it by adding something to it or changing something to it, mm-hmm. then that is when you're pissing on nostalgia. That's what I don't like.
Okay. All right.
I think that's me.
I understand that. I don't think I can do that, because when I see these characters later on, I know they're still the same characters. Mm-hmm. So that's hard for me. So I understand all the, you know, complaints. But that's awesome that you're able to do that.
Mark Hamill agrees with you.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah.
I knew it.
He said that he had to approach the character as if he was like Jake Skywalker.
Really?
Yeah. He said, he's like, this is not Luke Skywalker. This is not my Luke Skywalker. So he said that he actually had to frame it in his brain as if he was playing somebody else.
That's sad.
Yeah, it is kind of sad when, like, I kind of wish I didn't hear that. Like, that he didn't say that. That
makes me feel a little better.
Does it?
Yeah.
Why does it make you feel better?
Because knowing the actor didn't approve of the way he was portrayed, I think helps a little bit.
Okay.
Helps heal some wounds.
Yeah, with Discovery, with Star Trek Discovery, mm-hmm. I feel like, okay, here's actually, you know, with Luke and Star Trek Discovery, like with Luke, if he was the exact same character, people would say Disney's not risking anything. They're not trying anything new. You know, they're just doing the same old, and, you know, reaping off of our nostalgia. Now with Star Trek Discovery, if Discovery tried, like the same reason why people are criticizing Discovery is the same reason why they would be criticizing it if they didn't do those things. Like if you look at Deep Space Nine, got criticized for being different than the Next Generation. Give it 10 years and give it 20 years, and then they're like, holy crap, Deep Space Nine is amazing because it did something different. You look at Voyager. Voyager was different from Deep Space Nine because it was lost in the Delta Quadrant trying to get home. People hated it because it didn't take the differences far enough. It wasn't serious enough. It should have been more like Battlestar Galactica. Well, we have something like Discovery, which is more serious and darker and has a tone that is much more in line with Battlestar Galactica, and not Voyager, not Next Generation, not Enterprise.
Right. And now it's being criticized. And
it's being criticized for that.
It's interesting.
And if they did the same old, if it was Enterprise, if it was the Orville, people would be criticizing it for trying to latch on to something that was gone in the 90s.
So you can't win.
You can't win. I think that's another component of nostalgia. You can't win.
It's true.
And so you'll make money.
But you can't win because you're always going to be, you know, making someone angry.
And I guarantee you that the CEOs and the studio execs don't give a crap.
They just care about the bottom line.
If you don't like it, fine. They got your ticket.
Right. That's true. That's true. Yeah. But from a story standpoint, I think you just want to not see your characters portrayed. And for me, I much rather see some original stuff. Or if you're going to reboot it, then reboot it completely like Planet of the Apes.
Mm-hmm.
Where, okay, we're completely taking in a different direction technically, where we're using CGI and we have a completely different cast, and we're maybe making some fun references, you know, Easter eggs for real fans.
Right.
But then tell your own story.
I feel like it's funny that I'm able to let the Luke Skywalker Luke Skywalker stuff go, and you can't, because we both love Star Wars a great deal. It's a huge portion of our lives. But, like, the X-Files offended me more than The Last Jedi.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, X-Files, yeah, offended me as well.
Well, I think because Last Jedi was entertaining, at least. Like, there was a lot wrong with it, but it was entertaining. The X-Files revival was just a steaming pile of garbage.
Like Twin Peaks?
Yeah. I went back and listened to that episode.
To be reminded of how much you hated it.
I don't know what it is. Like, I don't know what I think. Maybe what it is like, if you give me a good story, if you change the characters in a way that I don't like, but give me a good story, I'll be able to forgive you more than if you give me a trash story and you trash my characters.
Okay. I can see that.
Because with Twin Peaks, I didn't even get a chance to judge, Kyle MacLachlan's character, because I didn't really get to see. I bailed before we actually saw him, because we just got Dougie Jones and Bob. You know, like, I never actually got to see Agent Cooper as Agent Cooper.
Right, because you weren't able to last that long.
There was no way in hell I'd be able to last that long. But, and with the X-Files, when we saw Mulder and Scully, I didn't like what it wasn't so much. I didn't like what they did with Mulder and Scully, even though, of course, they broke them up because filmmakers and TV execs love breaking up couples that you spent years and years and years putting together, like Leia and Han, like Mulder and Scully, and like Luke and Lorelai. But
they didn't do that, though.
Thankfully, they didn't do that. They tried. They threatened it. But I think I wasn't offended with what they did with the characters. I was offended with what they did with the material.
Okay.
So maybe that's my thing.
I think it is.
Is that if you ruin the material, I can forgive you doing something crap with the characters, but just don't ruin the material. And you might be the reverse.
I think so. I think, like, don't mess with my characters. And if I just want to see more of those characters, then awesome, but keep them the same. I mean, they can develop, but I want to leave them where I felt happy.
I can get that. I can understand that thinking where, like, if The Last Jedi, if you thought The Last Jedi sucked, it was a horrible movie, but they kept Luke Skywalker like they did in Jedi, you'd be able to forgive it.
Well, I feel like there's a win there.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, and for me, like, you know, if you go back and listen to our Last Jedi podcast, it's not like I hated The Last Jedi, mm-hmm. but I do understand the whole Luke argument. And that was my least favorite part, was just the fact that they messed with him. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I think we might not have solved the world's problems, but I feel like we had some self-discovery. And that's really what
we talked it out.
That's really what it's all about.
It's more like therapy, just talking it out. True.
It's very true. Now, okay, we would love to know what you guys think of this whole argument. Are you guys tired of nostalgia in TV and movies?
Yeah.
Or are you just tired in certain things of nostalgia?
Do you agree with Tristan?
Yeah.
Is he the only one? Or do you agree with the girl? Which one?
Like, yeah, which one do you gravitate more towards? Or, like, are you okay with them trashing on characters as long as they give you a good story? Or do you not even care about the story as long as they maintain what you think the characters are?
Well, yeah, I think it's more about relationships for me. Like, keep the integrity of the character. Don't change Luke to be someone who he's not, which I feel like they did. And make sure we still keep those relationships intact. I don't care if that you put them through, like, terrible situations, as long as they stay the way that you ended them in the franchise.
All right, so no character development. Okay,
no,
got
that's
it.
Not
noted.
What you know, that's not what I'm saying. It's just, I want the relationships the same and who they are. Is that the same thing? Did
it's
I just
pretty
say
much
that?
The same thing.
Okay, I don't want my characters to develop. I will fess up to that.
All right. Well, let us know what you guys think by going on social media. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter. We're on Instagram. It's easy to find us. Just type in The Nerd Party wherever you are. On Twitter, we're Join Nerd Party. On Facebook and Instagram, we're The Nerd Party. And you can find us on our website at thenerdparty.com. And you can contact us by going to thenerdparty.com/contact. Select Nerd Nuptial from the drop-down menu. And then fill out the form. It'll send us an email. And also, if you like what we're doing, please go to iTunes. And if you give us a 5-star review, we'll mention you on the show.
I love you.
I know.
Scully?
Yes?
Marry me.
I love you and I like you.
I love you and I like you.
I love that woman. I love her more than sharks love blood.
I love you.
You don't.